To him who loved us and washed us with his blood and has redeemed us that we might be a kingdom of priests to serve our God and Father, to him be honor, glory, power, and might now and forever. Amen. Text for today for our consideration is found recorded in Luke chapter 16, verses 1 to 9. Jesus told his disciples, "There was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, 'What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be manager any longer.' The manager said to himself, 'What shall I do now? My master's taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do, so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses.' So he called in each one of his master's debtors. He asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' 800 gallons of olive oil, he replied. The manager told him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 400. Then he asked the second, "And how much do you owe?" 1,000 bushels of wheat, he replied. He told him, "Take your bill and make it 800. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than the people of light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings." Here ends the text. Christ Jesus, our Savior, dear fellow redeemed, Jesus told at least 30 parables during the course of his 3.5-year public ministry. Parables are, as you may recall, stories of Jesus that he told about things having to do with people's everyday lives here in this world, through which he taught his followers some very important heavenly truths. Jesus was a master at utilizing parables as teaching tools. Parable of lost sheep, for example, he taught how the Heavenly Father's as abiding love for his lost sheep, and how he is so happy when sinners are led by the Holy Spirit back to repentance. It's parable of the Good Samaritan, by which Jesus illustrated the kind-heartedness that he wants us to have towards others, including those who are our enemies, and especially by which he pictured the perfect compassion and tender mercy that he demonstrated and still demonstrates towards us. Parable of the buried treasure and pearl of great price, where Jesus portrayed the unsurpassed value of being a citizen of his eternal realm, and how infinitely blessed we are to be part of it. What about the parable of the dishonest manager recorded in our text? What heavenly truth or truths does our Savior want to convey by this earthly story? Well, that's the question we want to delve into today and answer under the Spirit's guidance. We want to see how the Lord instructs us by this parable about what we Christians, the people of the light, can learn from unbelievers, the people of the world. That is, to be concerned about the day of reckoning and to make proper preparation for that coming day of reckoning. So in our story, Jesus speaks about this man of affluence who was the owner-operator of a certain business concern. He had in his employ a man whose job it was to oversee his affairs. And it was brought to his attention one day that this manager of his was engaging in shady business practices, being very dishonest, which had resulted in his master losing money. And so Jesus says, the master, the employer, called the no good manager into his office, and he instructed him to prepare his final accounting of finances and let him know, I cannot keep you on as my manager anymore. You're fired. And then Jesus tells about the dishonest manager's reaction to the unwelcome turn of events. He was more than a little bit perturbed. Started to worry and wonder how in the world he was ever going to be able to live since his source of income was drying up. Don't have physical stamina to be a ditch digger. It'd be way too humiliating to become a beggar. Oh, I got an idea. So that when I lose my job, the people will befriend me and think real well of me and welcome me into their homes. For we talk about how he executed his ingenious plan, let us, dear friends, pause to consider a lesson that Jesus wants us to learn from the parable thus far. He wants you and me to think about how smart that manager was in regard to the concern that he showed for the day of reckoning. That is, when he would have to turn in his books, his final accounting, to his boss. That's how it is, isn't it, with the people of this world, with unbelievers, generally speaking, when it comes to things having to do with their temporary earthly lives here in this world. They show deep concern, don't they, for addressing and solving problems that they run into. Companies have people they hire just for that very purpose, don't they? Call them troubleshooters. Their task is to head off problems at the pass, or when they happen, resolve them. I was even reading somewhere recently that there is a problem solvers caucus in the United States House of Representatives. It has 58 members divided between Republicans and Democrats who seek to foster cooperation on policy issues to get things done in government and to head off and overcome hurdles. Well, the point Jesus is making here, speaking of this obvious fact of life in this world, showing how smart unbelievers are in earthly things, in preparing for the needs of the future. The people of this world, Jesus says in verse 8, are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. So the Lord counsels us as Christians to show the same smartness in heavenly matters. As we think about our eternal futures, the time when our life here on earth will end and the day with a capital D arrives when we'll stand before our Lord to give an account, that we live in daily concern for that day and make preparation for it. So the question then comes, how may we do that? How may we show proper concern and make preparation for the coming reckoning day? Well, Jesus provides us with some very good advice in this regard in the remaining part of the parable. Again, recall how the dishonest manager, after receiving the bad news from his boss about being let go for cause, wondering, what am I going to do to provide for myself when I'm out of a job? And then he hit on this great idea for feathering his nest. He was not going to have to become a ditch digger or become a beggar. Before bringing in his books to his boss for the final accounting, he called in each of his boss's debtors. He asked the first, how much do you owe my employer? 800 gallons of olive oil, he replied. Well, how about right now if we give you a 50% off discount, reducing your bill to $400? They asked another debtor, how much do you owe? 1,000 bushels of wheat. Let's give you right now a 20% off discount and reduce your bill to $800. And he did that with all of his master's debtors, smartly getting himself on their good side so that even his boss, when he heard about what he had done, commended him for his shrewdness, his cleverness. These people are going to treat him very well when he's out of a job. Should be noted, dear friends, that the business owner in Jesus' parable did not commend his manager for his being a bad or dishonest manager. And Jesus, of course, is not encouraging you and me to imitate the people of the world who sometimes engage in shady business dealings and do what they can to get ahead and stay ahead even if their practices are unethical. Jesus is simply stating the obvious fact, as mentioned earlier, that in worldly matters, worldly people often show great astuteness and shrewdness more than Christians, people of the light, in matters affecting our eternal salvation. So Jesus, what he's doing, he's encouraging us to take a page out of their book, so to speak, when it comes to showing shrewdness in assuring the happiness of our everlasting futures with him in heaven. Begins, of course, by looking to him every day for forgiveness for our sins, to the cross, staying in touch with his word at home and at church, reading our Bibles regularly and teaching our children to do the same, to show and have love for God's word, and living with a daily awareness and consciousness of the time when we will be called to account for the treasures that he's entrusted to us for our use to manage for him right now. Sometimes we speak about the three T's of Christian stewardship: time, talents, and treasures. The Lord gives us in his word lots of good advice about how we may show our love and devotion to him in each of these areas of our lives. Here in our text, Jesus focuses our attention mainly on the last of those T's, our treasures, impressing upon us, wanting us to remember that we are not the actual owners of the things that we like to call our own. Remember the Psalm 24:1, it's on the front of our bulletin today. We had in our responsive lesson, the earth is the Lord's, all its fullness. Haggai 2:8, the silver is mine and the gold. Psalm 50, verse 10, every animal of the forest and the cattle on 1,000 hills. And like the Walmart down the road on Wadsworth has a manager. McDonald's, half mile up the road on Wadsworth, has a manager. All the restaurants do. They're not the owners, but they're hired to administer in a wise and smart way the affairs of the owner, the parent company. So the Lord Jesus is teaching us here to use the material wealth that he has committed to our care wisely and smartly, doing things like providing for our families and for ourselves, paying our taxes, saving up for retirement, helping the poor and needy. And as he says here in our text, I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. So use the material resources, Jesus is saying, that he gives to us to spread his kingdom in the world, to help other people learn about him, the Savior who lived and died for them and rose again to acquire for us treasures beyond our wildest dreaming that thieves cannot steal and moths can't eat away at and rust can't corrode. So that when it is gone, that is when our life on this earth ends, runs its course, we'll realize a fantastic return on our investment. We'll be welcomed into the heavenly mansions by the people whom we have helped. Isn't it an astounding thought to think about and a comforting one? When you arrive in heaven, people will maybe come up to you and say, you know that check you placed in the collection? That offering that you brought to the Lord's altar for Jesus' kingdom work? You know that missionary that you financed so he could travel overseas to the nation of Nepal? Holy Spirit used it to bring me in touch with the gospel so that I was able to hear about Jesus our Savior and anchor my hopes in him and join you here. Thank you, thank you. And thank you especially, Jesus. And you're probably also acquainted with the Bible verse where Jesus himself promises to welcome you. He foretells how on the last great reckoning day, he will acknowledge the Spirit-worked fruits of faith in your life that you did for him. He'll say to those, to his sheep on the right side, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Well done, good and faithful servant. Come and enter the joy of your Lord. What a thrilling day that will be. Till then, dear friends, God grant that we may maintain our spiritual savviness, wisdom, and insight to view worldly wealth and treasure for what it is, a blessing that Christ has given for our wise and shrewd management as his stewards for the spiritual blessing of others and for the praise of his glorious name. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might be rich. Amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, shall guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Joy of your salvation upon